With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The FT.
Last week, I got an email that went like this. Dear colleagues, please join me for the next Global Conversation webcast on December the 10th. All details are in my blog post. Best. And he signed his name. It was short and snappy, which was good. It was clear and fairly free of jargon, which was also good. Yet it still managed to needle me in three different ways. For a start, I prefer an email to contain the facts rather than an invitation to find them elsewhere. Although I enjoy good conversation as much as the next person, the thought of a global conversation webcast was a little lowering. And finally, best is among the worst email sign-offs, beaten only by very best and bestest in that order. Given my flair for finding jarring things in the briefest, most anodyne message, I got excited last week when I saw someone tweeting a Fast Company article about the most annoying email habits. Some of these were news to me. The biggest crime, the magazine said, was not putting a telephone number on your email. I never reveal my mobile number to strangers for the excellent reason that I don't want them to ring me on it. One of the least annoying things about email, in my view, is that it is a lot less bothersome than receiving a phone call. The article also objected to emails that simply say, thanks, on the grounds that such messages waste the recipient's time. This is nonsense. As the average adult reads 250 words a minute, surely even the most crazy busy executive has 0.004 minutes to spare on this single polite word. But the bulk of the annoying things singled out by the magazine, such as making emails too long, overusing reply all, and putting cheesy aphorisms at the bottom, are things I agree with. But they're also things that only the deranged could disagree with, which raises the interesting question, if these things are so universally known to be aggravating, why do people go on doing them? One of the greatest puzzles about email is that despite the fact that we have spent several hours a day for the past 15 years or more practicing, we're failing to show any improvement. Even on the basics, we're as clueless as ever. What is the right way to start an email? Far from a consensus emerging, the salutation chaos goes on getting worse. The tension between the formal and colloquial is far from resolved. In my inbox, there are some examples of dear sir/madam, as well as plenty of messages beginning hey. Last week, my garage bravely attempted to solve the problem with a message that began, hi, Miss Kellaway. I detect two new trends emerging in greetings, both bad. One is to start messages with good morning or good evening. This grates both for its fake heartiness and because it assumes that the recipient is in the same time zone and so hooked on email that they open all messages immediately. The other is to start baldly with all, which is badly missing the dear that should come before it. Sign-offs are getting worse too. There are as many cheers, kindest regards and very bests as ever, but there's a new tendency to pile on the pleasantries one on top of the other. I received an email last week that ended, I look forward to hearing back from you. Many thanks and speak soon with very best wishes. This reminds me of the man who runs our local corner shop, who always says, all the best, see you later, cheers, bye-bye, as customers leave. English is a new language for him, and I dare say he will get the hang of it in time. But will emailers? It's not looking promising. Even more annoying than any of this is the recent development of the read receipt, which demands your permission to let the sender know that you've opened their dratted message. Not now, I always click irritably, deeply regretting that there is no button that says mind your own flaming business. Given that email is getting more aggravating all the time, what is encouraging is that it gets to me slightly less than it used to. This might be to do with the mellowing that comes with age, but there's also an element of if you can't beat 'em, join 'em. Exclamation marks, which I used to despise, are now sprinkled throughout my messages in an abandon of great news, exclamation mark, delighted, exclamation mark, and lovely, exclamation mark. It can't be long before smiley faces, which used to bring on a feeling of shrinking revulsion, start appearing too. However, the main reason emails annoy us less is that while we've got no better at writing them, we're far better at reading them. Which is to say, we've got far better at not reading them. Irritating messages hardly grate at all anymore, because those that make it through our admirable filters can be swiftly sent on their way by pressing delete.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.